Think about the last time you flew over a big city, any big city. I'll bet what you saw down there in that big city was a lot of empty space. Very expensive empty space. Trouble is, most all of that empty space, and that expensive space too, is up on the roofs. And that leads us to ask, can it be made practical to farm up on the roof?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Show with your host, Michael Olson. Now, get ready for an hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned into the 975th edition of the Food Chain Radio program right here on the GCN Radio Network. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends way down there on Cape Tribulation who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at Metro Farm. .com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome aboard. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What Radio with engineer Aaron Shore on the boards. Hello, Aaron.
Good morning.
Aaron, I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
Now, do you think it's possible and practical to farm up on the roofs?
I don't know enough about it, so I wouldn't have an answer one way or another.
Stay tuned. You just might learn. Folks, there is a tremendous amount of extremely valuable land available in big cities of the world. Trouble is, most of all of that land is up on the roof, where it being out of sight is mostly out of mind. Being a Montana boy, I certainly did not give big city rooftops much thought until I ran into an old friend whose family helped pioneer California's strawberry industry. It now costs thousands of dollars per year simply to rent land in California to grow strawberries we eat. And so berry growers have become very good, world-class experts even, at getting the most out of every square foot of the land that they rent. When I asked how things were going in the berry business, my friend replied, well, things are going fine right now, but you know, looking into the future, I'm thinking we've got to make a change. We've got to get out of the ground and above it. What do you mean by that? I asked. Get out of the ground? Doesn't make any sense to me. Well, he replied, given the costs of land, the government rules and regulations on using that land, the cost of water, and the difficulty we have in finding labor willing to stoop down and pick berries, you know, if we could just get out of the ground and start growing vertically with aeroponic or hydroponic growing systems, it would solve so many problems. We could avoid soil-borne pathogens and not have to use, like, methyl bromide. We could stack production up vertically, so growers and workers would not have to stoop down to pick our berries. And we could grow just about anywhere we find some vacant space. Given this look into the future, we simply must ask, can it be made practical to farm up on the roof? Well, today, to find some answers to this, we're going to travel to New York City and Toronto, Canada. For some answers, we're going to start with Maggie Cheney, who is the Director of Farms and Education at EcoStation New York. Maggie, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure to have you aboard. Now, you're in Brooklyn, right?
I am.
Beautiful Brooklyn. And you have, what is EcoStation New York?
So EcoStation New York is a nonprofit organization based in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And we run numerous interrelated projects in the neighborhood, such as the Bushwick Farmers Market, a farm on a high school called the Bushwick Campus Farm. And we are currently relaunching our Farm in the Sky project. So all of these interrelated programs that the nonprofit runs produce food, but also hire youth and community members to run the project.
Good. And you mentioned Farming in the Sky. You just had a Kickstarter program to launch this program, got a bunch of bucks. Who gives you the money, by the way? Who pays your way for EcoStation New York? We always like to ask that.
No, it's a very important question. So we have a number of foundations that over the years have funded our work. We do sell our produce to members and in the farmers markets around the area. We also have, you know, individual donors, private foundations, host events, do things like Kickstarter. It's really a diverse way to bring in money to a very small nonprofit. We're very small, but we do a lot of work.
Well, and I suspect you do. Now, I have to ask, what made you first look up to the roofs of Brooklyn there and thinking, why can't we grow up there?
Well, I think it's inevitable. There's just, in the real estate world in New York City right now, every single bit of vacant land is now under high priority for a lot of developers. So it's natural to kind of look upwards and say, okay, so if these are all getting bought up left and right, then what can we do on the rooftops, which there are so many of? And I know that I've been working in food justice my whole life, and I've been very inspired by work done in other countries, especially Cuba, Havana, and what they've been doing in times of need when they need to really get a lot of food access. And that is the same thing. Go to the roofs, go to the sidewalks, go to the open spaces. It's about accessing all areas in the city.
Going where you have to go. And, you know, when you do fly over a big city and you do look out down at it, you do see a lot of empty space. And so there it is. Can we grow on it? Well, let's travel up there to Canada and talk with our friend Stephen Peck, founder and president of Green Roofs for Healthy Farms. Healthy Cities, I should say. Green Roofs for Healthy Cities. Stephen, welcome to the Food Chain.
Thanks, Michael. Good to be here.
Good to have you aboard. Haven't seen you for a couple years since your great get-together up there in Toronto. Tell us about
the Herbert Ag Summit.
Yeah. Tell us about Green Roofs for Healthy Cities.
We're a non-profit industry association. We're membership-based out of Virginia, and we have our basic mission is to green the roofs and walls of cities throughout North America, and we have a program. You can become a green roof professional by taking some courses, and we do events every year. We have a conference coming up in Nashville, Tennessee in November, our 12th annual. We facilitate research. We lobby for public policies that encourage the implementation of green roofs in various cities, public events. All that good stuff that associations do.
And who pays your way?
We're funded through membership fees, as well as we generate revenue by putting training courses on in various cities throughout North America. We actually have a training course specific to rooftop farming. We also generate some revenues through the events that we run.
Okay, well, Stephen Peck, what made you look up to the rooftops of Toronto, Canada, and think, hey, maybe we could start growing things up there?
You know, when you go into an airport, as you said, and you take off and you look down, you know, you see an awful lot of wasted roof space. And when you think about some of the challenges that face our cities around the world, things like, you know, problems with stormwater management, lack of employment, air quality problems. In many places, there's just a lack of green space, which has negative health impacts. The roofs and to some extent also the walls provide a real remedy to a lot of those problems. So it's kind of a natural opportunity that exists in every city, everywhere in the world. And these spaces, we generally don't utilize them to their full potential.
And that's what we're talking about. There's so much potential, but oh my goodness, how do we take advantage of it? When you look down from an airplane, there's just so much space available. And yet, it being up there, it's out of our sight and out of our mind. So we look around for other things to do, but there it is, up on the roof. The question that we're going to be working with today, folks, is can we figure out how to grow crops up on the roof and do it in a practical way. There are all kinds of new technologies or old technologies that are under, continually under refinement that give us the opportunity to kind of look up there. And some of the biggest and most powerful growers in California, who of growers of specialty products and not commodities, are up there thinking about it. So why can't we think about it? This is the Food Chain Radio program. Michael Olson with Maggie Chaney, Director of Farms and Education at EcoStation New York. She in Brooklyn. Stephen Pett, President and Founder, Green Roofs for Healthy Cities, up there in Toronto, Canada. And you. Phone numbers today, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. What do you think? Do you think it would be practical to grow crops, to grow our food on the rooftops of our big cities? 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Right back on the Food Chain.
Get this. You can earn a 5-6 or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city.
You can be old or young.
Rich or poor.
Married or single.
You can own land outright.
Or lease it year to year.
You can grow small fruits on prairie bench lands.
Houseplants in coastal valleys.
Flowers on steep wooded hillsides.
Vegetables in the city green belts.
And ornamentals in neighborhoods of fancy homes.
Get all the help you need to get growing at MetroFarm.com.
Get the complete guide to growing high-value specialty crops for the city at MetroFarm.com.
Get experts to look at your land and assess which crops to grow at MetroFarm.com.
Get advice on how to plan and develop your project at MetroFarm.com.
And get news about the business of farming for the city.
Yes, you can earn a 5-6 or even a 7-figure income by farming high-value specialty crops on a small parcel of land in or near the city.
Grow for the money today at MetroFarm.com. That's MetroFarm.com.
Well, folks, we're looking up today. We're looking up to the rooftops of our world, and we have a lot of rooftops, and we're trying to figure out, by golly, if there's a way we can look up to those rooftops and take our crops up there and grow them. Of course, we're not going to grow, like, wheat, and we're not going to grow barley, and we're not going to grow oats, and we're not going to grow soy or corn. But what about the great specialty crops that cities so love and enjoy? Things like strawberries, maybe. Things like berries, other berries. What about tomatoes? What about fresh greens? What about the things that where freshness and proximity makes so much of a big difference? Why can't we grow them up on the roofs? Well, that's where we're looking today, and we're looking up there with Maggie Chaney. She is with EcoStation New York, and they have a revitalized project called Farming in the Sky. And so we're looking up with her, and we're also looking up with Stephen Peck. And Stephen has a Green Roofs for Healthy Cities up there in Toronto, Canada. And so what I'd like to start is, what exactly can we look to? What kind of space is available in the rooftops of big cities? Maggie, let's start with you, because you've got something going there already. What do you got going?
So right now we are using the roof of a new community building in Bushwick that was just built. It's a privately owned building. We are one of a couple of incredible organizations sharing the building, and we'll be farming the roof and two terraces of that space.
And what are you going to be farming?
So right now we are still figuring out the full crop list because we are midway through the season. We're a little bit limited in the New York City area. But generally speaking, going forward, we're going to be doing a diversity of herbs, hot peppers, tomatoes, some flowers, and things that are really culturally appropriate to the neighborhood. So given we have a lot of diversity in Bushwick, primarily Latino neighborhood. We're going to be growing for that population.
Well, that's another thing you can really target, right? Who's living down on the street below you, right? If they have a particular taste in this and that, there you can grow it right there, and there it is. Stephen.
Yeah, exactly.
Stephen, when you look across the rooftops of Toronto, what do you see available?
Yeah, it's hard to. I mean, one of the major issues around the ability to take existing buildings and turn them into farms has to do with the structural loading capacity.
Yeah, I would think so.
Roof. And depending on the type of building it is and when it was built, sort of determines the structural loading capacity. But we wouldn't be surprised if in any given city you have somewhere between. I'm going to kind of guesstimate this number, but probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 to 4% of all of the existing non-residential roofs might be able to support rooftop farming activities.
So those would
quite a lot of land area.
Yeah, that's a huge amount of space when you think about it. 4% of the land area of a city. So when I put out a release that we're going to be talking about farming on the rooftops, a very knowledgeable person emailed back and said, look here, Olson, you know that the amount of soil excavated for a typical commercial building weighs more than that entire building will weigh when it's completed. So how are you going to put that much weight on top of a building? How would you do that, Stephen?
Well, it's structural engineering is a pretty straightforward series of calculations that you make, and if it's an existing building and you need to do an assessment, even if you put just a general green roof on that's not for farming purposes, you still have to do a structural engineering assessment and determine what excess loading capacity you might have in the building beyond the code requirements, and it's that excess that enables you to. Which is one of the principal factors that you have to take into consideration when you're designing what type of green roof you're going to be able to put in. So if you only have, say, 20 pounds per square foot excess loading capacity, it's unlikely that you're going to be able to do much in terms of farming. But if you have 125 pounds per square foot, it's much more likely that you could turn that space into a roof farm just from a technical point of view.
So you got to know what the building is made out of before you proceed here. You know, it seems to me like you're talking with respect to green roofs about a lot more than just growing crops. What exactly do you mean by green roofs?
Well, green roofs involves high quality waterproofing, root repellent system to keep the roots from impacting on the waterproofing system. There's a drainage system that you put in so that if there's very severe weather, it will drain and it won't stress the structure. And then you have filter cloth that keep the drainage system from becoming clogged. And then you have engineered soil or growing medium, which has a variety of different performance characteristics.
Yeah, but when we're going to get to that in a minute here, but what I wanted to ask is when you talk about green roofs, there's all kinds of purposes for which you have green roofs. It's not just growing crops, right?
Yes, that's right. There's a whole range of reasons to have a green roof. There are a whole range of public benefits, which is why many cities like New York City has a tax incentive for existing building owners now to install green roofs because there are public benefits like air quality improvements, reducing the heating of the city, the urban heat island. There are benefits associated with stormwater management. There are benefits in terms of additional green space. There's aesthetic benefits. And then there are a whole host of private benefits which depend on the project, but the general ones are that you're going to get energy savings. You'll have less cooling electricity required to cool the building in the summertime. You'll have better insulation in the winter, which will save you on your heating. The waterproofing membranes will last much longer than they normally would because they're protected from the sun and from thermal shocks. And, you know, there are a whole other host of private benefits that depend on the actual project and what it's designed for.
Well, Maggie, it would seem to be like if you could pull this off, it would kind of change the nature of Brooklyn from laying out in the sun to laying in the shade under a tree.
Yeah, I guess you'd say that.
Do you see many other rooftops in the Brooklyn area, in New York City, turning green, as it were?
I think there's an increasing number that are definitely getting built. The Brooklyn Grange has been leading that very aggressively in terms of like accessing large warehouses and huge acreage in New York City. And I think there's a lot of potential to also just be taking advantage of everyone's roof, you know, in small ways, in like container gardens, you know, accessing roof space, not just for like the green roof system that was talked about previously, but also in more creative, reusable materials. Really, everyone could be doing it. And that's kind of the place that EcoStation takes, is not only, you know, promoting green roofs and farming and all this incredible technological advances that comes with those new systems, but also in just kind of exciting people about the fact that they could grow food, and it doesn't have to cost thousands of dollars, that we can be using milk crates and growing in smaller containers and all different methods.
And that's where we're going to start when we pick up. We're going to look at the technologies involved in growing crops up on the roof. Just like the drifters saying, when this whole world starts getting you down, just climb right up the stairs, up on the roof. And there you'll be. Wide open spaces. You'll be under the sky and stars. And there'll be space up there where you can grow if you know how. And that's what we're going to talk about when we get back with Stephen Peck, president and co-founder of Green Roofs for Healthy Cities, Maggie Cheney, director of Farms and Education, EcoStation New York, and you, 800-624-2665. Right back. Well, a friend of mine was musing the other day about how nice it would be to be able to get out of the ground and grow his berries hydroponically in vertical stacks. Think of all the problems we could get rid of if we could do that. We wouldn't have to fumigate the soil. We wouldn't have for bad bugs. We wouldn't have to worry about the high costs of land. We could grow just about anywhere. Holy smokes. We could stack the berries up vertically so workers wouldn't have to bend over to pick them. Hey, there wouldn't even be any weeds to pick either. Wow, all of the problems that it cost us so much money to grow berries in the ground, maybe we could avoid them by growing off the ground, out of the ground. And so why not? Up on the roof. A lot of space up there in the big city, and the market is right there. So that's the question we're asking today. Could it be made practical to grow crops, high-value specialty crops, up there on the roof? First thing that occurs to me in thinking about that is the weather. Is the weather the same up there as it is down on the street? Maggie, what do you find up there?
I think it definitely depends on where your building is located, and what the, you know, neighboring buildings, if they're higher than your building, so if there's going to be shade, or if it's much higher up and you have a lot more direct sun. So I think that generally if it's a high building, you're going to have more wind and more sun. So you have to take that into consideration when planting your crops and knowing that there's going to be a lot of evaporation and, you know, planning to think of methods to keep those evaporation numbers down.
Good. So the higher you get, the more you transpire. And there you are. Yeah. Stephen, what do you find up on the roofs of Toronto?
Well, I think Maggie characterized it correctly. You know, when you higher the roof, the more wind exposure that you have, and probably the more direct sun. The roof farms that we see right now are that are open farms definitely have a benefit of slightly longer growing seasons because of the there tends to be a little bit more heat up on the roof. And when you're talking about hydroponic rooftop farms, then you've got to be very cognizant of wind uplift issues around the structure of your greenhouse.
So there are some important climate variables like that that definitely have to get factored in at the outset.
Wind uplift, meaning the fact that the wind comes up and blows your greenhouse away.
Yeah, you wouldn't want your greenhouse falling off a 5 or 6 or 7 story building.
No.
That would be
Might get you into a load of trouble there. So that takes us to the kinds of technology involved here. Obviously, we're not going to be working in native soil, so there's a whole issue of soil and fertilization and irrigation, and all of those things come into play. Maggie, I think you're starting with simple container gardens, correct?
Yes, yeah. We're going to be doing a number of different containers on pallets for drainage. And with all the containers, whether they're food-grade plastics that we're reusing, or we have liners, much like landscape fabric, round containers, we are doing a lot of different methods because we really see ourselves as, you know, like a center of education and, you know, just showing people all the different ways that you can grow food to see what people are excited about.
So you're kind of a teaching and experimentation plantation, as it were.
Yes.
Up there on the roof. Stephen, what kind of technologies do you see being employed up on the roof? Do you see the real simple things to the real complex models?
Yeah, I think that's correct. You've got a wide range of opportunities to grow food on roofs from, you know, balcony-type applications, co-ops. There's a lot of restaurants that have started to grow fresh herbs, for example, on their roofs and supplement their use of herbs inside the restaurant. You've got that sort of one end of the scale. And then at the other end of the scale, you've got the attempts to actually have commercially viable operations. And that tends to be where you get more the use of more technology, if you will, or more sophisticated growing methods that are really designed to try to maximize yields.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where you get your Bright Farms, for example, that's has a number of hydroponic roof-mounted greenhouses, and you've got a number of open farms, too, that are employing a variety of methods in terms of crop rotation and different type of fertilization systems, composting on site. I mean, the really cool thing about growing...
Wait a minute. Composting on site?
Yeah.
What would they be composting?
If you have the weight-bearing capacity, there's no reason why you can't compost on a roof.
Uh-huh.
You see large bins. Again, you know, reusing the materials that the farm produces, you know, leftover tomatoes, leftover kale stalks, and then also bringing in additional, diverse materials to make a rich compost.
Yeah, maybe there's a restaurant down below, too, or something like that. They call it up the stairs and dump it in the compost pile. Stephen, when you see these complex hydroponic systems, let's go through it a little bit to talk so that people understand kind of the realms of possibility. First of all, we don't use soil, do we?
No, there are a variety of soilless approaches to growing. I wouldn't classify myself as an expert in hydroponics right off the get-go, but a lot of the principles for hydroponic growing on the ground are no different from hydroponics on a roof. I don't think there's anything that's particularly new or special about hydroponic growing. What is interesting and what is on the leading edge is trying to figure out, like Maggie was suggesting, how you get like compost. Can you use the nutrient cycle that exists within a defined community? Can you capture that and reuse it? Can we use the carbon dioxide that gets produced in through many buildings, and can we pump that into greenhouses for extra growing potential? Can we grow fish? Can we use aquaculture techniques, aquaponic techniques to grow fish inside a building and then use the plants and have a crop? So diversification and integration is one of the strategies, I think, for commercial enterprises to try to generate as much revenue stream from different aspects of their operations as possible.
Maggie, it sounds
like where ultimately we're heading.
Yeah, Maggie, it sounds like we're trying to make a permaculture situation out of this. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, I definitely say that you could view a rooftop farm as a diverse urban permaculture place. I think that, some farmers are more, used to using that terminology than others. I definitely think that, layering your spaces so every space is used in multi-purpose ways, bringing in beneficials, using native plants if possible for pollination purposes, and diversifying and trying to kind of connect the water cycle so there's not loss of water, loss of solar energy, loss of heat, just like we were talking about. I think that's very important to making a sustainable farm.
In talking with the two of you, I'm coming to the conclusion that you are pioneers in the opposite sense of the word that we usually think. We usually think of pioneers as those who are going out into the wilderness and conquering it and turning it into agriculture. And it seems like what you're doing is going into the city and conquering it. Do stay tuned out there. Right back. Well, folks, our forebears went out into the wilderness and conquered it with civilization, bringing city life to nature. And now our pioneers are heading in the opposite direction, attacking that wilderness of concrete with green stuff, with plants and life. Will it be made practical? Well, it certainly wasn't practical to be the first one out into the wilderness, was it? Kind of scary if you think about it. Maggie Cheney, do you ever get scared standing up on the rooftops of Brooklyn, looking out over the wilderness, thinking, what am I doing up here?
No, I love it. I think there's so much potential. It's very exciting. And you see when you're up there on roofs, no matter where you are in the city, that people are doing it. You can look and see there's, chickens in the backyards of people's homes. There's other small rooftop farms. In residential buildings, there's larger ones. I mean, I think the more education and excitement there is about local food and urban gardening, the more we'll start to see these types of farms, whether they're big or small. And that's what excites me. I think that the city is so huge and there's a lot of people that still don't know about the big ag consequences that are happening both on our bodies and also the world and nature. So bringing all of that information and awareness to New York City with these alternative ways of growing food and agriculture is really needed. There's still a huge disconnect between where our food comes from, and I think that urban farming and right now more and more rooftop farming opportunities, that's a great point to get people involved and to get people excited about food and learning more about how it affects them and the world.
There you go. Information being your musket out there in the wilderness, right? Stephen Peck, are you the pioneer? Do you think of yourself as a pioneer as you're lecturing about the world and pointing up to the rooftops and saying, hey, look what we can do?
Well, I think there's a lot of pioneers out there, Michael, and one of the things I think about rooftop ag from the projects that I've been able to visit and learn about, what I think is very interesting is the human health aspect that comes along with it that often isn't part of the discussion. But, when you look at places like Brooklyn Grange, for example, what you find is that not only are they producing 50,000 plus pounds of food on a 1-acre lot, they are also creating community. There are 6 full-time employees there, but they have a whole community of people that come and volunteer, sort of reconnecting. They have the whole community within, a 5-mile radius of restaurants that are putting in orders for their fresh produce every day. And so that, the act of generating high-quality organic produce in the city extends out into the social sphere and strengthens relationships and improves health and well-being.
Mm-hmm. Kind of just like it.
Just our conference in August, on August 25th, we're having a conference in Toronto called Gray to Green, where we're looking at how green infrastructure, living systems in cities like on walls and parks and urban forests and farming, how those things actually translate into better health outcomes for the people in the city.
You know, I was thinking about what you said about food and community. Isn't that what it was all about in pioneering the wilderness, you know, and going out from the cities into nature, you know, doing what you could to make food, sharing it, building a community around that food, and that's what we're doing by going back into the cities and pioneering them. Folks, we're going to go to the phones right now, 800-624-2665, 831-479-1080. Lee, thank you for hanging in there, and welcome to the food chain.
Good morning, Michael. Listened to you for many years. I'm not signed up, but I'm going to bring you something that is right under your seat that you've been associated with for since the 90s. And for building the highest five-star top quality soil, that whether you're using it for whether you're into hydroponics or real soil, I heard Dr. Wong speaking on this, mm-hmm. and that's longevity. It brings 77 mineral elements into a poor soil.
Great idea. Now, how do you bring, thank you for the call, appreciate it so much. How do you bring nutrients to the plants when they're way the heck up there? What do you do with them? How do you get them to your crops? Maggie, what do you use?
I think just the same as you would for on-the-ground farms is just making sure you have high organic matter. We use a lot of worm composting, other forms of composting to amend the soil. I think that's key, you know, and just really, really paying attention to the soil and making sure you're testing it and adding where necessary. Mm-hmm. We use a farm upstate, so a couple hours from the city, that has great organic compost. So we're reliable with them. You know, they have a great source, and then we continue to amend with our own on-site worm compost.
So it takes a certain amount of technological proficiency to do this. And so when I come back, before we have a few minutes left, but I'd like to ask Maggie Cheney from EcoStation New York and Stephen Peck from Green Roofs from Healthy Cities what it will take for us as pioneers moving back into the city to develop the technological proficiency to make greenhouse or green roof agriculture practical. Can we make it practical? Do we have the smarts to make it practical? Really a tough one if you think about it, because we have to take over from Mother Nature to make this work. Do stay tuned. Well, folks, next time you go up in the air, flying someplace, going from city to city, look down on those cities and see what I often looked at, which is all that empty space, all that extremely valuable real estate doing nothing. Trouble is, it's up on the roof. And so that which is out of our sight up on the roof is out of our mind, but not to everybody, not certainly to Stephen Peck from Green Roofs from Healthy Cities up in Toronto, and Maggie Cheney from EcoStation New York, they're thinking up on the roof. My question is that, can we develop the technological proficiency to make this practical? It seems to me like when you set up a complex growing system, then you have to really become a genius to make it all work. Having watched this kind of activity for a long, long, long time, I've seen so many, you know, fancy, elaborate hydroponic growing systems come and go that I'm not sure we can develop the technological proficiency to make it work. What I do believe is that by using organic systems where we just tend the soil, as it were, and then let nature do the business, maybe we can make it work. Maggie, what do you think?
I agree. I think there's a lot of benefit for using soil, and I think just because you're on a roof doesn't mean you can't use soil. I think there's so many different examples of that all across the world. And I think for those of the people who are more interested in hydroponics, you know, you do have to have a certain level of skill to understand those systems, and it doesn't mean that you can't get that. But I think looking to experts in the field is really important. But again, there's a diversity of different rooftop farms, so I don't think everyone needs to be, you know, a soil scientist or genius in the field to try it. I think the best thing to do is, you know, keep having people support and invest in the projects that do work. And for all the people around who are interested is to just, you know, try it out and learn from mistakes and keep doing the good work that it is.
And how do we get in touch with you folks at EcoStation New York?
We have our website, which is www.ecostationny.org. And you can reach us by email. We also have a Facebook page, EcoStation New York.
Just EcoStation New York will get folks to you. Stephen Peck, Green yes. Roofs for Healthy Cities. What do you think? Do you think we can make this practical enough to be workable? Oh, what happened? We lost Stephen Peck. He fell off the roof, but who knows? Stephen Peck, just all you have to do to check in with Stephen Peck is Green Roofs for Healthy Cities. Green Roofs for Healthy Cities. Maggie Cheney, Stephen Peck, thank you both so much for joining us. And it's been a fun thing for me to think about at any rate. And the question was really raised by my friend in this berry business who's looking to get out of the ground somehow and avoid all the costly problems that they have to deal with, and thinking maybe if we could grow above the ground, instead of growing spread out all over the ground, grow up vertically. Use some different kind of soil mediums. Maybe we could do this in a lot more efficient way, and maybe we could do it in places we've never been able to do it before, like the city. This has been The Food Chain. A big thanks to Molly Chudikoff, previous Food Chain producer, for pointing the way to the stories. Thanks to Maggie Cheney, Stephen Peck, and above all, thank you for tuning in. Do stay tuned next week.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Show with Michael Olson. If your friends missed the show today, tell them to log on to the radio page at www.metrofarm.com for a listen. Now go out and find some food with a farmer's face on it and live.